Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen? Amen. How do you feel about someone speaking from the heart? What does that mean? To most of us, I think it means speaking with sincerity, honesty. But that can cause some problems, as you will see. My estimation of St. Peter was that he was always sincere when he would call it like he saw it. Sometimes he spoke with great strength and certainty, like when Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" It was Peter who immediately responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But not long after that powerful assertion of faith, when Jesus began to talk about his suffering and death, Peter tried to rebuke Jesus. And Jesus calls him Satan. Whoa. Now, he was not calling him literally Satan, but his understanding of the work of God was certainly influenced by Satan. Peter wanted Jesus to reveal his power by defeating the enemies of Israel by force. Jesus came to reveal his power by a divine way, through suffering, through death, and resurrection. The idea was inconceivable to Peter, and that was a problem for him, no matter how sincere he felt he was being. Sometimes we hear Peter just talking crazy talk, like when Jesus was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was Elijah and Moses with him. His emotions went nuts. I don't know how else to call it. "Wow, Lord, okay, you're all here. Let's build three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Awesome." And even the gospel writers wrote that he didn't know what he was talking about. He was kind of out of his mind. Well, what things would you say if you were given that glimpse of the glory of Jesus? It's star power that does that to it, doesn't it? I remember when we were going down to Eckert's with our grand boys for their fall festival. And I don't think we knew it at the time, but KSDK was down there with their newscasters. And, we got down there, and people were carrying around these KSDK umbrellas. And I said to Kristen, "Hey, come on, let's go get us an umbrella." And so we got in line, and suddenly I'm face to face with Ann Allred, who's this, you know, beautiful newscaster, young and, you know, just, you know, and I was just like now. I'm just kind of talking and verbal garbage is just coming out of my mouth. I didn't know what I was saying. And then suddenly she reached out her hand and she said, "Hi, I'm Ann." "Hi, I'm stupid." We took some photos with Mike Bush and Rennie Knott and Ann, and just they're just wonderful people. But I want you to back up for to the hour or so before the Holy Spirit came in power on that day of Pentecost. I can tell you with certainty that Peter wasn't sitting there writing his sermon for that day, a sermon that would lead 3,000 souls to Christ. No, he was sitting behind probably a locked door trying to process all that had happened to Jesus through his crucifixion and resurrection. Remember in the gospel we just read? This is after the resurrection now, and it says that the 11 disciples together, and some doubted. And I'm wondering if Peter wasn't one of those who was kind of wondering what's going on and having his own doubts. But when the Holy Spirit came in power, everything changed. And suddenly, like that gust of wind, Peter's boldly standing before these pilgrims who had come for this annual feast, Romans who had executed Jesus, and religious leaders who had accused Jesus of doing wrong that sent him to the cross. They were all there. Peter, who ran from the Garden of Gethsemane, was now standing his ground and delivering a heart-to-heart message to all who would hear him, even to this day. But this time, Peter is speaking words not driven by emotions, but by the Spirit of God. He clearly makes 3 points about Jesus. 3 points that the Holy Spirit will use to touch the hearts of 3,000 people who would hear and receive that message, be baptized, and become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. His emotions were there, they had to be. But they were not the driving force or power of his words. His emotions were filled with Holy Spirit content, which we see in his presentation. I'm going to encapsulate that into these 3 points, what he said. The first point dealt with Jesus' credentials, which were based on well-known facts. Facts that could be corroborated by those who had been affected by the Master's ministry. This is a little speculative on my part, so take it for what it's worth. But I believe that interspersed in that audience were people who had been healed by the Lord's hands. Possibly a guy named Malchus, the servant of the high priest whose ear Peter cut off in the Garden of Gethsemane, was there. Can you imagine that? If you remember, Jesus did a quick repair job on his ear. Maybe the leper who was cleansed was there, and this time brought his 9 leper friends, healed leper friends, who were cleansed by the Lord. Maybe they were there too. Peter's words revealed the Lord's credentials. He was who he said he was. The Lord was dwelling among them in the flesh, forgiving, healing, teaching with authority, and showing them personally that the kingdom of God was at hand. It was near. It was so near that they heard and they saw for themselves the great things God was doing for them. Even the Pentecost event itself was a miraculous visitation by God. You remember, we read it last week. The disciples were speaking in languages that they had never spoken. Jesus' credentials were clear to everyone that day, and Peter is still speaking to us today, boldly testifying that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. His second point turns us to the Lord's crucifixion. Remember, the idea of Jesus being arrested and killed almost became a deal breaker for Peter. It was just unacceptable to believe that Jesus would show his power by dying. And yet, that's exactly what he did. And now, headstrong Peter understood. He knew the truth. The idea of Jesus giving his life through crucifixion began to boggle his mind. Crucifixion by wicked men meant a seeming defeat. And yet long ago, God had planned to turn the Lord's death into a glorious victory for Jesus, for Peter, and for us living today. We can certainly understand Peter's reluctance at such an idea. Death never ends well, does it? It leads to the grave and eventual disintegration into dust. That's what our experience in life has told us. But with the death of Jesus, that all changed, which leads to Peter's final point. The resurrection and exaltation of Jesus. The final conquest of death was witnessed by many people. Men had killed him. God raised him to life again. And now the Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of God in power. And there is no higher exaltation than that. St. Paul said it this way, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." Now think about this for a moment. Peter had to have had pure adrenaline rushing, coursing through his veins. Strong emotions could and should have overwhelmed him so that all he could do is stand like I did before Ann Allred and speak nonsense. But because of God's Spirit, we hear a measured, reasoned message concerning the credentials, the crucifixion, and the conquest of death by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have no problem with people getting emotional about the work of God in Christ, unless it overtakes the Spirit-empowered message of Christ's credentials, his crucifixion, his conquest over death through the resurrection. It wasn't Peter's sincerity or emotions that brought 3,000 people to Christ. It was Peter's Spirit-directed presentation. It was his proclamation that God had come to show his true intent for mankind, which was to heal and to save, to restore, to die in the place of sinners, and to rise again to show his power to bring salvation to the world. And thanks be to God, this Sunday, we got to hear it all over again. All praise to our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.